Welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, March 15th, 2025. It's season season 19, episode 9. I am Scott, and I am the only one here. Well, I say that I'm the only one here. I'm the only one in the studio. There's other people here. And I think the group that is here right now is going to be here for the very long haul of the day. Before we get started, do this very quickly. Get that out of the way. It's going to be an interesting show today. It's going to be an interesting day. It's going to be an interesting night. It's already kind of been an interesting day. And if you, if you've been following along, there's a big weather day here in central Alabama. For those of you listening who aren't in that area, that is what we're dealing with today. Is weather. For those of you listening on the radio, more than likely within these 2 hours, we're going to get interrupted. We're going to get thrown off with EAS going off. We're going to get thrown off with Rich Thomas, our meteorologist here, cutting in to give more detail about that whenever the EAS goes off. For those of you listening on the radio, on the stream, that is what you're going to hear when that happens. For those of you listening on Twitch, that, oddly enough, won't convey over Twitch. If you're listening there, watching the show through there, that won't come across that way. I'm not going to know either when that happens, when we get interrupted. So I will go about just as though it isn't happening, even though I know that we will likely be interrupted. And it could come to a point where we're done with the show, and we will only be talking about the weather that is going on around here, should that get into that area where we need to do that. And that is exactly what we would do. We've been here before when things like this have gone down as far as breaking news or any kind of news has gone down, and that's what happens. It overtakes everything, especially in the case of horrible weather like this. So, that being said, understand, you know, what we're dealing with here. Again, if it just gets too much to where we're just going to be covering weather for the rest of the show, we'll do a mulligan of episode 9 for next week if that's the case. But regardless, we're here for those who are in this or need more information about it. We will do our best to pass that along to you and give you that information as it happens here locally. This is extremely, extremely severe weather situation that we're in. And it's going to be going on for the rest of the night. I am likely here until midnight or later from here on out. I don't necessarily know that I'll be in this seat from here till midnight or later, but I will be in this building helping with everything that we have to help with to make sure that listeners have the information they need about what is going on with the weather and where they need to get to get through this. I can already tell you the winds are pretty okay. So I don't know if it's just the, I think it's the building, I think, for now. But there's a window over here, and I'm going to have to go check it because it may be just a little cracked. And I don't mean cracked as in the wind. I mean, like, it may just need to be shut sturdier or something because the wind noise outside this room sounds scary. Yes, you get howling winds, that's fine, but knowing what we're expecting today and hearing that whistle go through, it's all kinds of spooky. It's better, though, when I walk outside and realize, oh, yeah, it's just because of the way the wind and the window is working that it makes it sound worse than what it is. Although knowing that, yes, it is going to get worse later on today and this evening for specifically where I'm at right now, but all kinds of all over the river region here that are going to be dealing with this. So that's where we're at. I'm going to try and get through a normal show if I can. And if not, that is just the way it is, and we will carry on with how we need to carry on with that. Phone lines are open. I want to keep those open for weather-related calls should they come in or need to come in. So, you know, if you want to talk to us through Discord or something like that, you're more than welcome to do so. And the number is 272-9228. But like I said, just kind of want to keep that open for weather-related issues. And to those of you who are tuning in, either through Twitch or the radio, thinking, I'm going to listen to some video game talk today. You might get some of that today. You absolutely might get some video game talk. I'm here, right? That's some of the things that I know. So sure, yeah, we'll be talking about that. No problem. We've already got a call here. It is just me tonight, or today. I advised RJ to stay at home. Otherwise, he is likely to get stuck here until midnight or later. And he took me up on that offer, which I'm glad he did. That's another thing, too. If you're driving around listening to this, hurry up and get to where you need to go and stay there. Unless you're headed to the shelter or something like that, just get to where you need to go and stay there. So, yeah. Let's go to the phones. Again, don't know who we're talking to here, but hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, it's Soldier Boy. I got two stories for you.
Yeah, what's
first
up?
First one's information. I'm on the road now heading to the house. A lot of businesses just closed at 4 o'clock, letting their employees off, which I think is great. I mean, yeah. Gas stations, everything is shut down at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
They haven't announced it, but you can see the lights and everything. Everything's out. And I'm really happy to see that. You know, they think about their... The most important resource is your employees.
Your employees,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, second thing is, a minute ago, I have a fireplace. You know where in a fireplace where there's like a deflector that stops the rain from getting in all the way down through the fireplace?
Oh, yeah, the the trap or whatever it's called, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
Shoot or something.
Name. Yeah, so my Scottish Terrier, it was so funny because the wind hit it just right, and you were just talking about the wind, and you could hear the wind go. Ooh.
Yep. Yeah.
And as soon as she heard that, she ran over to the fireplace and she gave it a primitive wolf answer.
She held back to it. That's great.
Yeah. So for a cat, I got it on DVD. On video. It is so funny because I said Pepper. That's the wind. And she looked at me like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. It's talking to me. It's talking to my language. I'm going to talk back.
Isn't that amazing in the DNA?
Very much.
They know that.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. I like that.
And another thing is, I don't know if you used to notice, about 4 or 5 years ago, because he's 15 years old now, but about 10 years ago, they used to have a guy that came out on Saturdays and Sundays at the Shakespeare Festival, and he would play the bagpipes.
Yes.
There was a guy.
No, I remember being in college and I went to AUM, which is just up the road here for those who may not know. It was just up the road. It was sort of moving towards fall. It was probably in a September afternoon or something. I was on campus and way off in the distance, I heard bagpipes. It was the strangest thing in the world. But there was somebody there who worked at AUM there who actually played bagpipes and was somewhere on campus. Wow. At somewhere and was playing them, and it was it was really strange to hear just a faint sound of bagpipes. I thought that's really.
I got even freakier on that. Her being a purebred Scottish Terrier, her tail went straight up like an antenna. Hair in her back rised up, and her ears just perked. I was like, she's definitely Scottish.
Yeah, the instinct kicked in. Yep, absolutely.
And then she looked at me. She said, "Captain, I'm giving it all she's got. I'm needing some Scotty, remember the triple episode?
Yeah.
They're multiplying like humping, man. And he's like, man, I'm knee deep in them. They're multiplying. He said, we got to get rid of these little I said, friendly ain't the word, man. You better get these bad boys. What, they start out with two in the show and ended up the whole ship that had a load of them?
Oh, yeah, it was a ton. Yeah, it was a ton.
And who was the, and who was the guy that was doing all the trading? He's the guy who did a lot of episode shows.
Who did?
Bogsworth, the guy with the mustache. He was always trading and hustling, and he's the one that tried to trade the... Oh, they're friendly. They're cute little animals and everything. He was selling, trading them and selling them for the people on the ship.
If Rich was in here, he'd be able to tell you, but I absolutely don't know.
Oh, you're not a Star Trek fan?
Yeah, not really. I mean, yeah, but not
let me
like,
tell you how
not like that I would know that.
Right. Here's what's funny, okay? I have a full-size SUV. I can feel the wind move me.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is just a teaser that's going on right now.
Okay? I know. This isn't the main event here for us. Oh. No.
No. This is nothing but a teaser. And, man, this is just a teaser. And it increases.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be wild, man. Let me tell you. And you know what? I feel sorry for the people. I mean, in Florida, we used to have a law we had to pass on trailers, for example, modular homes,
mm-hmm.
homes, where you had to have tie downs. And they would go around the axle of the trailer, and they had like 5 feet of concrete, and they'd metal strap them across it. And they're called tie downs. And Florida passed it about 10, 15 years ago. I think Alabama passed it about 5 years ago. And Hawaii, you know, takes Alabama always a little longer, you know.
Yeah.
So what happens is, I remember one time in Florida, come around the next morning, the axle was there, and so was the flatbed of the trailer. Nothing else. Isn't it amazing? I mean, the tie downs did its job, but again, those things are not built safe. And I like what they're saying in Alabama right now. I like some of the things they're doing, local governments are doing. If you live in a modular home, if you live in a trailer, get the hell out this evening. Take your family, take your dogs, take your pets. And we've got open shelter locations. Churches are doing that. Government buildings are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something really smart to heed.
Yep. That's exactly what they should do. And thank you, Soldier Boy, for the call. Appreciate it. And stay safe. Get to where you need to be going and be careful out there.
I'm a block away from the house. You be safe.
I'm staying here until it's done. So, yeah.
All right.
Take care, man.
I'll check on you once in a while.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, this is what we're dealing with here, is bad weather. So, yeah, just be on alert. And like I said, we'll keep the phones open for you guys to call in as far as weather's concerned and that. But, yeah, sure, we'll talk some gaming here. And, again, might get interrupted, likely are going to get interrupted, and that's perfectly fine. I do not mind that at all. So, yeah. All right. I don't even know where to start on this, to be honest with you. It's like it's weird to just jump from that into talking about games and stuff like that. But Thar6 says, what's going on around your parts? You got bad weather? Yeah, we got some really bad weather coming in. You can, if you're curious, you can do a Google search for Montgomery weather, and you will be able to figure out, you'll be able to see what's going on with us and what we've got coming in. It's already going through Mississippi now, coming across the line and coming into our area here. Should be here by the end of the show. I don't know. By the end of the show, yeah, we'll probably be dealing with rain and wind. But at that point, it may be wall-to-wall coverage here on all of our stations at that point with what we're doing. So Thar6 says, crazy weather all over. He's in Quebec and says that they have they still have winter there in Quebec region, and it's going to be 60 tomorrow Fahrenheit. Which is cold, I guess. But anyway, who else have we got? AC Wraith. Thanks for hanging out, AC Wraith. I do appreciate it. It is low in the chat room today. Not a lot of people, which is fine. They're all listening for important weather information and, just taking the shelter as they need to, which, speaking of, think about that if you need to. There are shelters that are open all over here. Got another phone call. Let's go to it. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Papa B. You know, you can tell the real loyal listeners to this radio station.
Yeah.
Y'all start calling in one by one. You're going to get them all, man. Every one of them that, you know, regularly listening call in. They're all going to call in. So, you know, but I tell you something. What I noticed is the wind is blowing the wrong way.
Did you say the wrong way? Yeah.
It's blowing easterly, you know, from the east toward the west, in other words. So, I mean, it's blowing toward the storm system. And it's sultry outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sultry kind of feeling outside. And really and truly, I've only felt this kind of, you know, thing and seen this kind of wind behavior in, you know, times when it's going to be really, really bad.
So, I know.
Anyway, we're getting all hunkered down up here.
We'll do that and stay protected. And stay alert. Stay aware of what's going on.
Yes, sir.
And take care, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks for the call there. I'm not normally bothered by weather. Rain and thunderstorms, I'm usually, even when it's like, oh, we've got, you know, it's possible with, you know, bad winds and tornadoes and things like that that we've had previous, I'm pretty good. I'm really pretty good about it, not really worried. I have to take care of things, you know, as far as being here at the station to make sure things are running and that we're on the air doing what we have to do. But for the most part, I am not in any sort of stress or worry or anxiety or anything like that. Except for today. Today I am. Today, and leading up to this, has been anxiety and stress and all kinds of different things of thinking about. Because I've never... So, for instance, those previous times that we have had severe weather throughout, 46 years I've lived here? the previous times that we've had severe weather, and we've had some bad ones, hurricanes and things like that that have come through, I've always been pretty like, you know, well, we'll get through it. Whatever happens, we'll get through it. And I mean, that's going to be the same way here. With this one is like, whatever happens, we'll get through it. But this one has really given me concern into the lead up to this day. Last night was tough. Last night I was watching as much as I could to try and get a better idea of a timeline of when it was coming in. This morning, checking again, looking at timelines, trying to see what's coming in. The odd thing about it is, and I say the odd thing, is just that the worrisome thing, I guess you could say, is that I can look at the radar and I can see when the rain gets here, which is going to be later on tonight or this afternoon, evening. But that has no indication to tell me the wind that is going to get here first before that gets here. Just like you were saying, this is sort of the teaser of it. We're getting this the before, the appetizer type of thing. Here, have some of this before we bring out the main course. And then you just keep bringing out more appetizers. As we wait for that main course, and it just gets, yeah. So I am concerned on this one. I absolutely am. I am mentally and everything, I guess, emotionally or whatever, anxiety, I suppose, whatever the case may be, I'm prepared to expect debris, maybe some trees down, likely more than that. I just don't know, you know, where it's going to be. Obviously, trees are going to fall over, but, you know, is it going to be a neighborhood or something like that? Power outage, you know? We're gonna go through that. You're likely to go through it wherever you are. The entire state is covered with what is coming through. And then there's a significant chunk within that state that is in a zone of particularly worse scenarios there, more dangerous scenarios there. That's on top. I mean, even without anything else, you're likely going to be without power for a while. I remember 2008, February 17th, 2008 was a Sunday. I was at home. Interesting thing about that is this was 2008, and I don't remember. Yeah, I don't think we. I'm not sure exactly how. I don't know. I was working here But on a Sunday, I just would have been home, I think. I don't remember. But yeah, just literally a block over, the tornado that ripped through my hometown of Prattville. I got calls. It's like 3 in the afternoon or something. I started getting phone calls. Are you okay? Is everything fine? I was like, yeah, I'm good. What's, you know, I knew that because the power was out, I knew that we had bad weather out there. They said, oh no, a tornado just came through. They're just because they were calling me from a local Walmart up the road, and that they had shut down, you know, they had shut the doors on that and moved people into secure areas of the building. And I was getting calls asking if I was okay. And I was like, yeah, everything's, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And so they said, oh, well, a tornado just came through. I was like, oh, really? So I got a phone. I, you know, went out to my backyard. I was like, I looked out my backyard. I didn't see any issue. There's nothing. It's fine. I went out front. There's nothing. It's fine. There was no sign that anything had come through and done anything until I walked out of my yard to the street that runs next to my house and looked down the street. Looking down the street is when I saw all the damage. Like, chaos. But I was a street over. Nothing. I say that not to scare you, even though it's kind of scary to think about. I say that because I was a block over and a tornado came through. F3, by the way. Or an E3, whatever it is. It had no effect on my street and people beyond my street. But one block over, tons of damage. So something just to kind of think about in a sense of, you know, tornado might be near, but you might be okay. So just one of those things to kind of not, I've been using tons of different things to kind of settle my anxiety over this. And that's one of them that I've used. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, Jay, this is Kilroy.
What's up, man?
Hey, you were talking about the 08 tornado. Did you happen to be living in Overlook? Was that the neighborhood?
That is the neighborhood, Overlook, yeah. That was the neighborhood, yeah.
Okay, so my grandma lives on Deborah, and she has for 30-something years. During that tornado, she had minor roof damage, but the house right in front of hers, the house behind her, and I think there was 11 total, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have been right around that. But the house in front of her, behind her, next to her, all got destroyed. She had minor roof damage.
Yeah.
And this is the most religious, God-fearing woman I've ever known. After the storm was over, there was a page, as if it were ripped out of a hymnal, stuck to her back door, the glass on her back door, and the name of the hymn was "I Will Weather the Storm."
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of when I was like, okay, Mama, I'm going to start going to church with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take that and frame it and put it up, and yeah, no, that's right. You're right. All those streets in Overlook are named, they're named for women in that area. And yeah, I could easily find Deborah. I don't exactly remember where it's at, but I could easily find it because I walk the neighborhood on a daily basis for exercise and stuff and see all the street names and things. So, but yeah, that was the reality of the situation, is that I was one block away from a really massive tornado in Prattville, and there was nothing. There was no sign of it whatsoever. And then your grandmother was at it? Your grandmother got through it? So, yeah.
Yeah, my grandmother and my uncle lived with her at the time, and they still live there. And the house across the street is much nicer than hers now because it's brand new.
Yeah, when I walk through the neighborhood, you can see. Yeah, you can see the line because you can see the houses. You can actually, you're walking through, you can see houses that don't match the other houses that are around it. And you can see, yeah, it came through here because that's a new house, that's a new house, that's a new house, that's an old house that survived it, that's an old house that survived it. But you can see the path from all the different houses that sprung up.
Most were built in the 70s or 80s, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch that were in the, you know, the early aughts or, you know, 2009, mm-hmm. something like that.
Exactly, exactly. So,
anyway, well, stay safe out there, brother, and keep doing good work.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to take a break here. Even though, like I said, it might be all weather talk today, given everything that's going on, which is absolutely fine. Looking at video game news is kind of like meh. I mean, I'll go through some stuff when we come back and kind of, you know, just dip into it. But otherwise, maybe talking more weather. So we'll be back with more of Engage Chat here in just a moment. Going to do we play the ops? Might as well. Something I found out interesting when I was looking up music to do the bumpers for the show today is that I don't know what made me do it. Oh, no, I know what I did. I went into my ROM collection. And I went to the, I think, N64 or SNES or NES or something like that. I went into my ROM collection. I just looking through. I was like, let me find some old stuff because it's old music day. This weekend, we play games from retro. And came across The Hunt for Red October, a game based on the film, based on the book. And I listened to it, and I realized that I was like, wait a second, This soundtrack costs nothing because it was repurposing classical music into a digitized form for an old Nintendo or Super Nintendo video game. And as I was listening to it, I realized, wait a second, you know what? They didn't pay a dime for this. They just grabbed the free license for it and made it happen. So I just thought that was interesting. So you're going to hear that when it comes up, but that kind of got me going through, and I was looking for other titles that may have done that. I don't think this was one of them, because this is from the Super Nintendo. It is a game based on a television show that is based on a comic book. Here's the main title for The Tick on Super Nintendo. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Interesting thing about this. So, yeah, me looking around for songs, right? This is a game for the Nintendo. Goes back into the 80s, obviously. I guess late 80s, maybe early 90s even. Called North and South. It's a Nintendo game about the Civil War. That's an awfully upbeat, catchy tune for the Civil War. There's not a lot of music in the game. This apparently plays when you're getting the storyline overview of whatever's going on, I think. So, yeah. That was the longest track I could find. The rest of them were like 20 seconds or 10 seconds. Whether you won, you lost, time ran out, something like that. That's what it was. I don't remember the game at all. But at that time, as a kid, I wouldn't. I don't want to play a game about the Civil War. I wouldn't have wanted to play a game about the Civil War or any kind of. I was a kid. All I wanted to play was like Mario things, a lot of colors and a lot of jumping and a lot of, you know, or aliens or something like that. It was never like, hey, let's learn about the Civil War. Later on, getting older. Playing real-time strategy stuff for, you know, you're talking about Risk, things like that. Yes, sure. It just seems odd. Here you go. Here's a Nintendo game about North-South. Likely made in Japan anyway. Which just interesting. I have no idea. I didn't look up anything else, but it probably is interesting to go back and kind of look up, like, what was the object of the game? Could you win as the South? Or what? I don't even know how I played. So I have no clue whatsoever on that. Let's see. I guess maybe go over what I played. because I haven't even talked about what I played due to the weather. I played Avowed, is mostly it. Marvel Snap, of course, usual, as usual. Played Avowed. Went a long way into it on Sunday last week. And went through, I was doing a story mission of some sort. And Thar, I think you're in the chat room there. AC Wraith asks, was that the original theme or was it localized? For if you're talking about North and South, that was the original. If you're talking about The Tick, I think is what we played before, I think that was also original. Hunt for Red October, by the way, is coming up for the next one when we go out on this one. So, but yeah, as far as Avowed's concerned, I'm still enjoying it. I got through there was a nice little quest about this. It was someone like my character who was who was affected with the powers and things like that, or was treated as a godlike, is what they're called. And I was going through this tunnel system looking for these people who had gotten lost, looking for an artifact, came upon this guy who had built this totem-like thing that he had planned to power up. And, like, I don't know exactly what all was supposed to happen. It just sounded like a really bad idea. That quest was really cool. I'm not going to go much further into that to tell you more about it, but because you'll know it when you get there. But it was great. The interesting thing about it, though, is that I went into the cave and it was daylight. And we've talked about this before, how I feel like the whole game runs in daylight, and only when you camp do you get a look at the nighttime. And I was always curious about, like, well, how do I ever get to play at night? What's the deal? Apparently, you just have to play long enough. And apparently that is a very long time before you get into the nighttime aspect of the game. And nighttime's so beautiful. It'd even be more so if they'd add HDR, by the way, to the game for PC players, which they haven't done. You can still play it on console with HDR, but they even patched the game recently. No HDR support on PC just yet. So, anyway, that was a great quest. When I came out of the cave, it was dark, and I thought, well, this is cool. I wonder if that was set up to be that way once you finish this particular quest type thing, that it's going to be dark. No, it's just because I spent so much time in there, the actual time of day had moved into nighttime, because it wasn't long while I was outside kind of exploring in the dark type stuff, like, ooh, this is nice. Let me go look around and see everything under the shadow of night. Wasn't long before I could see the sun coming up, daybreak, in the area that I was with. More of it's opening up to me, but I'm still in the very first area. And that's not necessarily concerning, but it is like, wow, this is very big. Because I got to a different part of the main walled-in city type thing, and I was like, okay, this is a big area too. And just realize that there's just a lot here to do. And I'm okay with that. But I think my attention will be diverted as more and more time goes on. Not because the story's not holding me or anything like that. It's just other things are coming along that I was really interested in playing. Assassin's Creed is this week. Not saying I'm going to be jumping on that bandwagon to begin with. But I'll be looking for reviews and seeing how things are going and seeing how it turns out. And making a decision based on that. But it's not going to hold me for as long. Avowed is not going to hold me for as long as it needs to do what it needs to do. It needs me to spend money, but I haven't done that. But it needs me to go through the game and go, you know, from beginning to end. For a player who can do that, that's great. I can't, because there's so much stuff to discover and find and explore and just reveal to yourself, you know? There's so many things that you can just find out on your own just by exploring. Things you can just stumble across just by exploring. The game has a storyline, the game has a plotline, the game has quests that are going to get you through all of that. But it's also got tons of other things, big and small, Some things are very, very easy. They're especially early when you get into a certain city or a certain area there at the very beginning of the game. Some of the people you meet there have little things for you to go do. And they're all pretty much well within the area that you're doing them in. They're not very far off. But there's a lot of them, and you can just start picking them up as you go along. And then there's just you being out there and discovering things. Other quests, little things. I know I discovered something, and then I talked to somebody else, and they were asking me to go out and do the mission to get that item. I was like, well, I already have it. I already did it. I already have it. Here you go. Boom. Quest completed without, you know, I picked it up, and it was already done. So that was interesting. You're going to see me, by the way, you're going to see me a lot checking my phone, checking my watch, getting reports of other areas, looking to make sure that, you know, I don't need to suddenly switch from game mode to weather mode. So just understand that. I wish I could show you, and I can't, I'd have to show you up on that screen there. I was going to say, I wish I could show you some type of a map or a radar or something like that so you could see. For those of you who are not here in the state, for those of you listening out of state, elsewhere, that you could kind of understand what's going on. But again, if you search Montgomery weather, you will absolutely find out what's going on. Let's see. AC Wraith says, now that the Steam Spring Sale is going on, I finally started playing one of my Winter Sale games, the Metroidvania game Rabby Rabby? Rabby Ribby. Oh, that's a weird one. Speaking of Winter Sale, I bought... it's not Metroidvania. It's platformer. Kato Buttered Cat. Really cool game. Demo was fantastic. I actually haven't played the full game, but it was a nice little platformer that I enjoyed. I picked up something else. What else did I buy? I'd have to go to my phone and look, but it's like Nubby's Number Factory. I know that sounds weird. And the whole thing is built kind of strange. Looks like an old Flash game. Something you would have played on, like, Netscape or GeoCities or something like that. That's the kind of look that it has to it. But it's got some addicting properties to it. I'm not going to try and explain it. I played it once this morning, and you kind of get the idea of what you're doing, but I got to go through it some more to kind of give an assessment of, like, oh, here's exactly what you have to do and that sort of thing. Otherwise, I was just making numbers go up, and that's always fun in games, to make your numbers constantly go up, and go up exponentially, too. It was really cool. So that, and I got Luck Be a Landlord. I haven't played that yet, but it was a bundle for those two. Somebody had said, if you like Balionaire, I think, which is another game that I enjoyed that I picked up as far as Winter Sale was concerned, they said, if you like that, you'll enjoy this. And I kind of understood what they meant. So that is what I've played. And as far as I was, you know, looking forward to maybe playing Avowed tomorrow, but I really don't think that's going to happen. I would be surprised if I am able to turn on my computer tomorrow at all. So, Steam Deck's a charging. In fact, it's in here. There's a bag behind this countertop over here that has the Steam Deck in there and battery packs and all kinds of stuff here. That's just gonna, you know, get me through it as we go along. So anyway, that's what I've been playing. Jumping into news, we've been getting some Battlefield 6 footage recently being leaked. The interesting thing about it, though, is that EA is not pulling it down. EA is not throwing up copyright things or anything like that, saying, hey, you need to take that off. Nope. They're leaving them up there. As far as I know, they have left them on YouTube and stuff to where you can watch them or Twitch or whatever. But the footage of Battlefield 6 is out there. It has gotten me to raise an eyebrow to take a look at it because it looks fantastic. It reminds me of Bad Company, which was another, you know, it was the Battlefield spinoff. Battlefield Bad Company and Bad Company 2. The only reason that it reminds me of that is the destructible environments. Things where, you know, if you shoot a building enough, especially in support areas of the building, you can bring it down. You can put a whole big hole blast into the thing if you want to. The destruction that they show off the way these environments break down and destruct the destructibility of the environment is fascinating to watch. And it just kind of makes you want to... I would take that as a game, I think. And likely they have that, where it's just like, here's a bunch of buildings, here's a bunch of guns, see how fast it'll take you to take them down. And there's strategic things where you aim for supports and things like that. It's the same way. You can use supports for cover, you can use whatever for cover, but the cover gets chipped away at. So, I don't know. I loved what I saw of it. I haven't played a Battlefield game in forever. Battlefield, what was that, 5? Which was the one that they kind of went back to like World War I, I think, was the last one that I played. So I haven't played anything since then as far as Battlefield. And I hardly ever touch the multiplayer on those things. The last multiplayer Battlefield, that's a good one. That's a good one. What would that have been? It wasn't Bad Company. It might have been 4, though. It could have been 4 that I played, the last online Battlefield game. Would have been 4. And I don't remember what year that is, and RJ's not here to Google it and look it up for me. But yeah. Speaking of, when AC Wraith mentioned the Steam Spring Sale, that is going on right now. I haven't noticed a lot of good discounts. There is some stuff, but I haven't really seen anything that sort of pulled me in. Something that said, oh, hey, there's that. I need to put that on my list to get. I really haven't seen it. Same reason as, like, Space Marine 2 is on sale, but it's still in, like, the $40 range. Final Fantasy still in the $40 range. Other games that are still in, like, the high 30s, low 40s, or even the low 50s. Even though they're on sale, and I'm kind of interested in them, I'm like, no, that price is still too high. Split Fiction, for one, that's a game I'm interested in. It's, what, still $50. Monster Hunter Wild, or Wilds, that's still running you. Is it on sale, Ray? Is it on sale there in Steam Sale? Let me look. It is not, so it's $70 currently, but you can find it as low as about $55 or so. And for me, that is still a nope. It's not enough of a discount, so no. So yeah, there's not been a lot that has really stuck out with me. I have not gone through my wish list yet to kind of like sort and see did something get a really good discount where it's like $1.50 and I could throw that in there? Sure, we'll do it that way. But yeah, I really haven't seen anything that was interesting. Somebody had mentioned that numbers game that I had brought up, and I went to the store to look at it, and it came bundled with another game that was on my wish list, which was Luck Be a Landlord. And for both of them together, it was like $8. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll do that. 2 games for $8, $4 per game. That's fine. I'll take that. So anyway, we are coming up on another break here. And before we get to that, though, let's see. Was there anything else in the news? Assassin's Creed Shadows is going to get Steam Deck support. Yay! Well, for some people, that's the only way they were playing their PC. They bought a Steam Deck in lieu of a PC. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so, in making games like Assassin's Creed Shadows, brand new games being available to play on a platform like that, that actually is good news. It doesn't benefit me whatsoever because I have no intention of ever playing Assassin's Creed on my Steam Deck. They did make one, though, for handhelds. I remember that. Way back for the PS Vita, I believe. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it'd be great. Especially when I have my computer right there to play it on. That would be where I would go to play a game like Shadows. But it is going to have Steam Deck support, which is always good. Usually we don't know if games are going to have that. Secondly, we don't know if they're going to how good the support's going to be whenever games like that release for Steam Deck. And a lot of people need to know those because, again, a lot of people have decided that they would rather own the Steam Deck rather than own a PC, a fully functional desktop PC. And that's fine. And I'm glad they're going to get to know that and experience the game and enjoy it. That's another question. Assassin's Creed is a Ubisoft game. Ubisoft forces you to play through their storefront type of thing. Whatever the Ubisoft thing is called, Ubisoft Connect or whatever. It's like a launcher. In other words, you have to go through it in order to launch the game and play it. And I'm curious how that works on a Steam Deck. I know it works on PC. You open it up, the application opens up, you sign in, you play your game. It's a little different on Steam Deck, I think. I've never had to deal with third-party stores on Steam Deck. In fact, when I put all the ROMs on my Steam Deck for Nintendo and Super Nintendo and N64 and that sort of thing, I play them through Steam. I go to my Steam library and I go specifically to NES or N64, whatever the case may be, and then there they all are. I play them through that. I don't think that's how that works when you have to go through a third-party app. Not sure exactly how that works at all. So, I don't know. If you've ever played anything like that, that would be interesting. We got some people play. Well, we did have some people playing. They're not playing anymore. Spigot was on. He was playing Wonderstop. Duke Frugum was on. He was playing... I can't remember. Something else. I don't remember. He was playing something up there. But they are now no longer playing anything. So, anyway. Going back to our news here, we have... Pokemon Go. I don't often bring up Pokemon Go. Used to, not a lot, but I used to, just because that's what I was doing at the time, way back when that thing first launched. And I really haven't touched it since then. But Scopely has bought Pokemon Go from Niantic for $3.5 billion, with a B, dollars. Likely a drop in the bucket for Scopely. Scopely is the same company that owns Monopoly Go. Scopely has been raking in billions year over year with Monopoly Go. And now that they're about to add Pokemon Go to their list, it's just going to be multiple billions upon billions every single year. This company's going to... The amount of money this company's going to bring in. Oh, man. So, yeah, they own Monopoly Go now, and they own Pokemon Go. Those are two of the biggest, like, cell phone gaming things. Just huge, massive revenue in those. And luckily, I've never spent a dime with those things. In fact, I actively stopped playing. Pokemon Go, I stopped playing, and Monopoly Go, I stopped playing. So that's fine. Snap still got me pinned down, though. Still playing my Snap. Enjoying it. There's no complaining there. I'm enjoying it, but I'm still playing it. So, all right. When we come back for the next hour, I'm going to go take a look at our weather situation, obviously. Windows are closed up here. I wasn't going to open them up. Actually, I might, just so I can see everything that's going on outside. But it helped with my anxiety to not see any of that. The noise coming through that window over there is not helping with my anxiety, but everything else is. Keeping it out of sight right now is helping me to deal with that. So, yeah, I'm going to go check that out here in just a bit during this break, and then come back with more of in-game chat in just a moment. What you're about to hear is music from the Super Nintendo Entertainment System's Hunt for Red October game, based on the film, based on the book, of course. It is, I can't remember the piece, but it is a classical piece. Not Beethoven, obviously, but it's a classical piece. It's Russian, I believe. But as I looked for a track from the game to use in the show, I realized that every single track, with the exception of like little success fanfares or, you know, failure trombones for when you don't win, everything else is all license-free music. And then I looked up the developer, I think, of the game, and I can't remember the name of them, but I looked up more of their stuff and found, I think, even more license-free music, classical compositions used in their games. So, anyway, here's music for The Hunt for Red October. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a Genesis title called Mr. Nuts. That's a Z at the end of nuts. Yeah, it's about a squirrel. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Getting back into the news of the week that we had. Not, I mean, it wasn't like a ton of news. In fact, Sunday, oddly enough, South by Southwest is going on in Austin, I think. And there was a Death Stranding 2 panel with a couple of the voice actors. And Hideo, I think, was involved in that, I believe. And, of course, it closed with a trailer for Death Stranding 2. If you're familiar with Hideo Kojima, if you're familiar with his games, you understand, you know, how that works. His trailers work exactly the same way. Just trailers that run far longer than 10 minutes. 10-minute trailer. 10-minute trailer. 10-minute trailer with, like, seven places that it could have ended, but kept going. And kept going. One, very obvious, where it felt like, oh, okay, here, we're at the end. Nope. Still, like, here's 3 more minutes of game footage. I'm cool with it. I honestly get more entertainment out of the trailers that he does for the games than I usually do out of his games themselves. So, yeah. But we got a release date on that. New gameplay. There looked to, you could call it an homage to his original creation, which was Metal Gear Solid, or Metal Gear Solid, of course, which now Konami owns. There was a whole spat between them, and that's when he went off and did his own thing, which I'm grateful that he got the chance to do that, to go off and do his own thing. I feel like, though, he really wanted to bring Metal Gear with him to do that, but no, man, he can't. Konami owns it. So he just went and made his own. Because the what I said when I said the trailer in, and you thought, hey, this is perfect, it's over with. Nope, here's 3 more minutes. It was all the relation to Metal Gear. Everything they were showing off was giving serious Metal Gear vibes. Seemingly as though he wanted to make his own Metal Gear. Or at least have some form of it at his new home. In his new game. Death Stranding 2, just by the trailers, just everything that's going on in the trailers, everything that's going on and everything that we've seen from the game, feels like a lot. I mean, a lot. How cohesive it's all going to be, I don't know. Hideo is not known for cohesiveness. He's just known for weird stuff. Just making really weird things. Just things that you don't necessarily make sense in what they make. But it amused him, and so he put it in. So, yeah. I don't know. Death Stranding 1 seemed very non-cohesive in what was going on there. This even more so with what I'm seeing. I mean, even if you go back to the trailer of Destiny 1, you'd look at that and like, what is this about? What is supposed to be happening here? What is it? You might get story trailers. You might get trailers that say, okay, here's the trailer that explains the storyline. Here's the trailer that explains the combat or the gameplay or whatever the case may be. And you might get that from these. They could be out there and exist. I don't actually remember, and I don't know. And I'll tell you why I don't remember and don't know is because if they did, they didn't convey a single idea of what the story might be about. Perhaps they did in some sort of odd context, but not to just random viewer watching the trailer. They didn't sell it enough. So that is the that's where I stand on that. Anyway, it's coming out. Glad it is. I'll get around to it. I got the last games for... I never actually bought the last games. I got them for free on... I don't know how many different platforms I own them now. I think I have it on PlayStation 5 or through PS Plus. I have it on Steam. I have it on Epic Game Store. So, yeah. Never actually bought it, but I do have it. So, I don't know that I'll go the same way with this one. Very likely. Wait until it's available for free through, like, an Epic Game Store giveaway or Humble Bundle or whatever, and then go that way with it. I was never pulled in by Death Stranding. The first one, still not really pulled in by the second one. I am pulled in by exactly what I just said, which is the outlandishness of the things that he puts in his game. Just the weird stuff. And I can watch those on videos. I don't necessarily have to play that to get them. So, like I said, I enjoy his trailers. I enjoyed the lead up to the game far more, I think, than I actually enjoy the game itself, with the exception of Metal Gear. And even then, I've got caveats on that as well. Metal Gear 3, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear Solid, you know, those things, the Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, that sort of Snake Eater. I'm actually more interested in playing the Delta, which is the remake of Snake Eater. But Metal Gear Solid 4 was the last Hideo Kojima game that I played all the way through. Metal Gear Solid 5 had a couple of different parts that they released, Phantom Pain and some other something Liberty, I can't remember what it's called. But I played through, one of those was like a demo type thing, but it was a prologue to the main game, and I played through that. And I tried to play through Metal Gear Solid 5. I didn't get very far. I think you open in the desert, I believe. I never really got out of the desert. That was it. It just did not hold me enough at the time to be able to do that. So, oh well, no big deal. So, let's see, moving on to other news that we had. There was the Death Stranding thing. That was on Sunday. Like I said, there really wasn't a lot. We've got a release date for Indiana Jones on PlayStation 5, which is an interesting thing because it'll be one of the first games, one of the big first games. There's some Xbox games that are already on Sony's platform right now, but this is a big one that is going to be there for them. Coming out April, what was it, April 17th is when we're going to get that. So a month from Monday. 31 days from Monday, on April the 17th, is when PlayStation folks will be able to buy and play Indiana Jones on PlayStation 5. I was hoping we would get an idea of when the extra content was going to be released for that game, but I hope that was a door. Sorry. I just heard something outside. I really hope that was a door. But, yeah. Anyway, I was hoping we were going to get an idea of when the downloadable content was going to be available for that game. Brand new stories, brand new missions, that sort of thing. We don't have any date on that. And likely that is because when it gets released, it'll get released on both systems at the same time. And I'm almost positive of that. So in other words, they're going to release this on April the 17th for PlayStation. I would give it maybe late May, early June for a release of the DLC. That would put it about 6 months since the release on Xbox. It would only put it a few months after the release on PS5, which is fine. They can capitalize on folks playing that to buy again and go into the story with it. I don't think they will wait as long, and I don't think they'll stagger it either. I think when they release it, it'll be released for both systems, Xbox and PlayStation, at the same time. That's my thought. We don't have any idea, but that's my thought on it so far. Speaking of Hideo, which is, you know, a couple stories back that we were talking about, he designed a mission for Control. It was exclusively available to PlayStation 4. Here we go with exclusives again. I understand that they're paid. I get that. I just hate them. And less and less, I don't know if you remember this. Some of you likely do remember this. But there was a time when you got exclusives based on where you bought your product. Again, paid for, obviously. I see less and less of those, thankfully. Basically, all I see now is the, you know, physical collector's editions, and then you've got your digital deluxe editions and things that kind of match with that. But thankfully, they have gotten rid of the, if you bought it at GameStop, you get this. If you bought it at Best Buy, you get this. If you bought it at Circuit City, you get this. If you bought it at Target, you get this. Amazon, you get this. You know, whatever the case may be, it was all scattered all over. One of the worst ones that took advantage of that was Burnout. So I am a huge fanboy of the Burnout series. Massive. Visited the studios out over in England. I keep forgetting. It's Criterion, but I keep forgetting where they're located. I used to know it very well because I was just fascinated by that studio and everything they were making. This is all Burnout related. But Burnout Paradise, when it released, I think it was Paradise. No, it was Revenge. Burnout Revenge on the Xbox. Depending on where you bought it and for what system, you got all these different kinds of exclusives. They had a Hardee's exclusive because you had some kind of thing you could turn in from Hardee's to get whatever. They had Circuit City cars. They had some kind of sports drink cars, maybe a Red Bull or something like that. They had, like I said, Circuit City. They had Best Buy. They had GameStop. They had a bunch of different retailer locations specific to where you bought it from and the kind of cars that you would get. There was nothing really special about the cars other than they had a paint job that represented the place you bought it from. The speed, the handling, and all that stuff was kind of mid. You could find other cars that did just the same, whether you had the exclusive one or not. So it wasn't that special. But as someone who kind of wants to have everything when I buy everything, I searched out those cars and was able to get them because they made them available somehow. I think I don't know how long it took, they made them available. They had to change the paint jobs on them because the licensing period ran out. And so they couldn't use any of that anymore. But yeah, I just hated that. I hated that time when we had exclusives specifically to where you bought your game. Anyway, this was a specific, back to my original thought, this was a level that was created by Hideo Kojima in Control, or Mission anyway, and it was previously a PlayStation 4 exclusive. It is now available to everybody, which I thought was interesting. I'm going back in my head and I'm trying to think of one of the interesting things back then with exclusives was people said, don't worry about where you're buying it from. Eventually, everybody will have it, because there was a time, and I think that exists still today, there was a time when these exclusives would be available to everybody. A Game of the Year edition would come out and it includes everything like a year later or something like that. It would have everything you need. It didn't matter where you bought it from. You were going to get the whole package. One game that was specific in not doing that, and still, to my knowledge, still hasn't done it, was Batman Arkham Asylum. The very first Batman Arkham Asylum game had a PlayStation exclusive, to where you got to play as the Joker in some of the different fighting rooms and things like that. It was not the main storyline, you couldn't play as Joker, but in a lot of the little test your might or whatever, little things where you battle, you fight 10 other guys and see how high your score can get, that sort of thing, you were able to play as Joker, who had a completely different moveset and abilities and all this other stuff that you could use during the fight. It was exclusive to PlayStation 3. And it never, as far as I know, ever left that. It stayed there. And it was never put anywhere else. Which is fine. You didn't miss much. At the time, people felt they were missing out a lot. And a lot of people, I remember that, saying that, oh, they'll just release it. And I said, yeah, they probably will. And it turns out they never did. They never did, as far as I know. I could still be wrong on that, but I believe it never made it past the PlayStation 3. So, let's see. Lego has decided that they're going to make their video games in-house from now on. And the world's largest toy maker, Lego, has told the Financial Times that it intends to build its own video games in-house from now on. The company has heavily invested in digital infrastructure in recent years, tripling the number of software engineers it employs since 2002. The chief executive saw revenues hit $10 billion, says that doing digital stuff alongside the core physical toy business is a no-brainer. We can definitely say, as long as we're under the Lego brand, we can cover experience for kids of all ages, digital or physical. Game development in-house is something that we are building up. Yeah, they do a lot of... Traveler's Tales was the developer of most of the Lego titles. The brand remains undeniably box office and has enjoyed successful collaborations with the likes of Fortnite, while of course always looking enviously in the direction of Minecraft, the game that Lego believes it should have made or acquired before Microsoft did. Yeah, you know, Lego and Minecraft kind of go together in that regard. Lego continues to outpace traditional rivals Mattel and Hasbro in both revenues and profitability. That's because Lego prices their sets far too high. To me, I still pay it when they're on sale, but they're still way expensive. When I got into the hobby back probably 5 years ago, and trust me, over the period of 5 years, my collection has not like swollen to a lot. It's increased. Small. It's had a small increase. Because around the time that I was really kind of getting invested in like, ooh, there's some sets I want, there's some sets I want to get, that sort of thing, there was something going on and they raised their prices. They raised their prices across the board on everything, and the prices have stuck since then. I remember picking up a DeLorean for Back to the Future for Lego for $80. It was on sale from like 100, and it was 80 bucks. It was like 99, but you could buy it for 80. That was great. Then the price kicked in afterwards. Now, I picked it up for that price, but I knew the price was going to be going up. That same summer, they increased the price to like $130 or $140. Might even been $150 for that. And all of them got a certain bump up in price. They weren't all like, well, take all of them and raise them $50. No, it was very proportional to whatever it was. If like you were $100, then you're now going to be $130. And if you were $150, you're now going to be $200. It was all kind of over the place with what it was going to be. And they raised their prices. And I hate it. I hate it because there was a time, and I say that owning a lot of unbuilt Legos at the moment, but I hated it because it was like, man, this is going to really slow down my collection. And something else that Lego does, which has nothing to do with gaming, something else that Lego does is they eventually stop making sets. They're not around the entire time. They produce them for whatever the year is. They put them out there. It's going to be out for a year to 2 years, and then eventually they're done. They don't make anymore. And what's out there is out there, and that's it. There won't be any more. So they've added FOMO, fear of missing out, on top of their price increase. And we let them get away with it. Look, I'm not going to buy the space stuff. Yes, I want the space shuttle. Yes, I want the Concorde. Now I want ships. They've got an Endurance, a Lego version of the Endurance. I badly want that. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, Lego's looking to make their own games. It's absolutely fine. They've got Lego has some very good games, by the way. If you want to take away the Lego Indiana Jones series, the Lego Harry Potter series, the Lego Lord of the Rings series, the Lego Pirates of the Caribbean series, the Lego Jurassic Park series, the Lego Star Wars series. If you kind of want to move all of that aside, check out Lego Brick Tales. And there's another Lego one, too. There's two Lego PC games, I believe, that I have. And Lego Brick Tales is one of them. Brick Tales is very small. Like, they give you a challenge of, like, here's a setup, and it's missing some pieces. And you take the pieces that are available to you, and you finish the thing. It gets a little bit more puzzly because you have to get a little figure guy from point A to point B. And you have to build that path for him. And there's certain things that he can't do or that he can do that you have to build to make that happen with. So it's more of a puzzler, but with Lego. And that's fantastic. I love that aspect of it. So, all right, we're going to take a break here. And then when we come back, it looks like we'll be wrapping up the show. I took a walk outside before the top of the hour here, or at least before we came back to this segment. It was very calm for the moment. And I'm not saying that to say put your guard down at all. No. Because it is still on the way. But I just wanted to see what it was like. This window is making it worse than what it sounds for now. So anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. We're going to go back to the N64 days, the Nintendo 64, a console I never owned. I own a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, a Genesis, but I never owned a PlayStation. I never owned an N64. I eventually owned a Dreamcast long after it was done, but I eventually owned a Dreamcast. But never a PlayStation and never an N64. Played a bunch of them at my local Blockbuster, though, when they had those displays kiosks set up. Played a ton of them there. Boy, those employees loved me. Actually, I ended up being the officiant for one of those employees when he got married. So, yeah, developed some friendships hanging out there playing video games in a Blockbuster. Here is a game called Penny Racers. It is for the N64. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. So, there we go. Found the other game. Same developers. By the way, this is music from the Super Nintendo game Beethoven, based on the movie about the dog. But it's made by the same company that made Hunt for the October. And it still has... Well, I mean, it's obviously named Beethoven, so they used a bunch of Beethoven tracks. But still, it's license-free music that they used. But it's all the tracks like that. There is no like, oh, here's the main theme from the Beethoven films, which I can't tell you what it is off the top of my head. And even if I heard it, I wouldn't know. But every single piece in there is some type of Beethoven track that they digitized or whatever and used. I can't remember the name of the developer company that did that, but it was the same one as Hunt for Red October. I think they also did The Tick, but they had the licensing for the series in order to use that. So they were fine. Anyway, final segment of the show here, and then the real work begins. So, yeah, it's just counting it down, really. Waiting for it to happen. Let's look through what else we had for the news. There's not a lot. There really isn't. We did get an announcement that Space Marine 3 is in development. Did I hold up 2? Well, 3. Space Marine 3 is in development. Space Marine 2 just came out in October? November? Here it is, March, and they already announced, hey, we're going to work on 3. It took them a while to announce 2, way back when, because Space Marine 1 released, and then it was forever until we heard about a 2. Now we've already got an announcement for 3. Still might be forever before we see a release, but it actually is now going to be in development. So good for you guys. Space Marine 2 is a game I'll eventually pick up. I'm waiting for the price on that one to come down before I pick it up. But yeah. First new game of Katamari in 8 years. After almost a decade, Katamari Damacy Rolling Live is the name of the game. It'll launch exclusively on Apple Arcade. It's a mobile game. Never mind. See, this is what happens when you read the headline, but you don't read the story. It's 5 other games are joining that starting April. Space Invaders Infinity Gene, Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic, The Game of Life. That's cool. Well, there you go. So, yeah, Katamari game on your phone. That's fine. I thought we were actually getting another game in the series. You're getting a mobile game. It's not to say that it doesn't mean anything. It's just likely not going to be on my list to play. I can put up with like Snap and Word games on my phone. A whole actual console type version of a game? No. No. It's just not. Nope. Don't do it. Voice actors are still on strike. Worried about AI abuse. They say progress has been made in negotiations of the video game voice and motion picture actors, capture actors strike that was called in July of 2024, but warned that the most recent proposal submitted by the bargaining group is filled with alarming loopholes that will leave our members vulnerable to AI abuse. Basically, that's what they're looking for out of the SAG-AFTRA situation, is protections against AI use. Protections that once they use their voice for games or whatever the lag may be, whenever they use their vocal talents for the video games, that that audio won't be manipulated and used through AI to be used elsewhere. It is absolutely something I can agree with and get behind on this. AI, I think, is an amazing tool. I think that AI can be used in a way that doesn't compromise artistic creation. Artistic value, I suppose. Not even artistic. Let's go with talent. Let's just use talent right there. When you're talking about voice actors, you're talking about a talent. And I think there's a way that AI can be used in tandem with that. We talked about this a little bit either last week or the week before when Microsoft mentioned that they were working on AI for video games. But what they were working on is an AI to run to play the video game in order to go through it, to find the bugs, to find little things, to just play the video game to make sure that, hey, does this work? Okay, it doesn't. Let me fix something else and let me run it through AI again to see if it works. All right, it doesn't. And, you know, maybe use AI to tell them, hey, where's the problem? And they can find it that way and use it that way. Actually using AI to create things that you will then use without tweaking, without putting it on in your own. It's kind of like, you know, growing up doing book reports or doing science projects or doing, I can't remember what it was. They were always like, here, go to the library, find the books about it. You know, you'll get information. And then, what do they always tell you? Put it in your own words. AI is the same thing. You take what AI can do for you, a great tool to use in creation, learning, all kinds of different things. But then whatever it gives you, put it in your own words. Put your own spin on it. If you're looking for ideas for a video game and you use AI, well, then that's great. And they gave you some ideas. Take those ideas and work with them. Don't literally take those ideas and put them in your game. Just take what they've done and somehow incorporate that in there so that it does what you need it to do. That's how I think AI can be used. And there's likely other resources or ways that AI can also be used that I haven't even thought of yet because I am not a game developer. But I think it exists. So yeah, when you talk about this, where they can use their voice, I've seen the voice side of AI. It's insanely interesting. It's fascinating what it can do. It also brings to mind, like, wow, if it can do this, yeah, there's just other ways that it could be used for evil instead of for good, to pull out a saying from 80s action cartoons or whatever. So yeah, there was a lot of that in the news, was about the voice actor strike, because they've been doing it for 8 months now, and they still haven't come up with an agreement. Which, the other part of that is that I really haven't heard any problems with that. In other words, I haven't heard of anything like, hey, the development on this game is slowed down because of the voice actor strike. I haven't heard any of that. Mainly because this strike began in June of last year, June or July of last year. Video games take years and years and years of development. So a lot of what you're seeing now, when we talked about Death Stranding 2 and the voice actors doing a panel for that, that was agreed upon long before this strike was ever put into play. So that's likely why you're not hearing a lot of noise about that yet. Depending on how much longer this goes on, it could eventually come up. Before they reach an agreement, it could eventually come up and be a problem. You'd think, though, by now, and maybe that's the reason they're moving so slow on this thing, is because games take forever to make. GTA 6 is another one. Grand Theft Auto 6, which, by the way, I don't have anything on it. We're supposed to get another trailer coming up next month for GTA 6. Possibly. That's the rumor. But GTA 6 is, again, a game that was in development before the strike took place, so you're fine there. You're not going to see any of these problems crop up until much later in the process. And hopefully by then, they will have already come to an agreement and we won't have to worry about it. So that's what we're looking at as far as that is concerned. I think I've covered everything. Last of Us, we talked about this last week. We got a brand new season of Last of Us on HBO. That's coming up in April. Meanwhile, Druckmann had an interview where he talked about... Oh, that's right. He did one of those... It's a YouTube video where two directors had a conversation. Alex Garland and Neil Druckmann. They all had a sit-down conversation with each other. And Druckmann says he's been at work on Intergalactic, which is the brand new game from Naughty Dog, for 4 years. So again, not under the strike that's currently ongoing. He caveats most of what he divulges with a note that while it took years and years to formulate the mythology that acts as a basis for the game, as in all things game development, Intergalactic is subject to change. But for now, Intergalactic is set 2,000 years in the future, in an alternate timeline that's split from our current reality in the 1980s. All right. Whatever incident caused that fracture in time, in Intergalactic, the heretic prophet also spawned a new religion to create this reality within. Druckmann and his team at Naughty Dog mapped out the full 2,000 years of the religion's expansion throughout society, from its original prophet to how it inevitably was changed and was evolved over two millennia. Yeah, that's interesting. Also, it was in this interview that they're pretty much done with Last of Us. He says, with The Last of Us Part 2, we made a lot of creative decisions that got us a lot of hate. So the joke is that, hey, let's do something people won't care as much about. Faith and religion. Yeah, exactly. But he did mention, and I'm trying to find where that is, but he did mention something in the effect that that we are unlikely to ever get a Last of Us Part 3. which is fine. Part one ended. I was okay with the way part one ended. Part two, I have issues with. I agree in some of the things that they did. I disagree with some of the other things that they did. I felt it was too long. I think that I will enjoy the series, the television series version of Last of Us Part Two, than I will the video game version of Last of Us Part Two. By the way, video game version of Last of Us Part Two looked great, played awesome. The gameplay was great. It was just like the first one. The look of the whole thing was beautiful. It was great. It was fine. It's just there were parts where it went that I was not really big on. The big thing that happens in part two that I'm not talking about because there's a TV show coming up next month that I don't want to ruin any spoil anything for anybody. The big thing that happens in part two, I was okay with that. I was fine with that. I am very much in a belief that if you can make it happen or make it work, you should do things like that. I think as a writer and a creator, doing things like that, and I have no idea if the TV series follows this, and I'm being very vague, for a game that's like, I don't know, 6 years old, 7, 10 years, I don't know how old the thing is, but I'm being very vague for a game that's been around for a very long time about a spoiler. But what happens in there, I'm okay with, and I think if you can find a story to make that work, you should go that way. I'm a big fan of seemingly writing yourself into a corner and then figuring out a way to get out of it. A creative way, not what's Lord of the Rings, not where the eagles come. And so the question's always like, well, why didn't the eagles just show up to begin with? Why didn't the eagles just show up, pick them up, take them to Mount Doom, be like, there you go, drop the ring in. All of that stuff could have been bypassed. So let's put our characters in a moment where it is life or death, and then we have this magical thing that we haven't talked about yet, but here are the eagles coming in. They pick them up. Oh, okay. That I don't necessarily agree with. But if there is a way you can write yourself into a corner and creatively figure your way out of that, I think it's great. So yeah, I hope that's why I was glad that they did that, and I hope they do it in the series as well, because I think it'll work. We're getting a Disco Elysium spiritual successor. Checking in on weather and stuff. The studio that made Disco Elysium has officially thrown its hat into the kind of successor to Disco Elysium. It's an RPG spy game currently known as Project C4. That's just a developmental title at the moment. And they are not explicitly saying that it's a sequel to Disco Elysium. But it's heavily implied. How about we just say that? It's heavily implied. So, yeah, we'll see whenever that gets released and how that's going to do. So, we got about 10 minutes left. I have been reluctant to go looking at radar. But I'm about to do that and see where we're at as far as the weather's concerned. Because these windows in here have been helping with my anxiety. One is covered up with a curtain, which you can see, yep, right there. The other one has no curtain, but the blinds are closed. Ah, I see. Okay, I'm looking at it now. Yeah. Now, the wind's there. That's the one thing about the maps that I don't see is wind. And I imagine there is some button on here that can show me, the wind and stuff like that. But it's getting closer. It is getting much closer. So, at the end of the show, in about 10 minutes here, we are likely going to go into just regular programming here. The regular, I think it's News and Views replay that shows up after we're done. Throughout the evening, maybe even within that next hour, we are going to be breaking in to tell you about what's going on. And then over the course of the evening, we will be doing that. And we'll be breaking in on all 8 of our radio stations for you to get updated about the weather and what is going on in your area, around your area, that sort of thing. We're going to be covering that quite a lot as it goes on, and I will be here for most of it. As far as this show is concerned, I don't know when it's going to get posted. Normally, I leave here, go home, edit the video, get it uploaded, edit the audio, get it uploaded, get it up on YouTube. The next day, you get it posted, you get it seen, you know, you get to download it, and then you have it for the week, that sort of thing. I will be insanely surprised if I'm able to do that tomorrow at all. At all tomorrow. I'll be very surprised if I'm able to do that whatsoever. So, yeah. That is just going over my head what's going on here and what's to come. So, yeah. Going to be here through all of this as it's happening. I'm hearing the wind through that window, and I'm telling myself that it's not as bad as it sounds. That window's making it sound worse. It's not as bad as it is. But boy, does it feel like it. As far as gaming's concerned, man, you know, we come back next week, and I tell you what I've been playing. It's probably going to be a bunch of phone stuff because I don't see me doing any kind of PC gaming anytime soon. I don't know. The last time we had a tornado come through was back in 2008 in my neighborhood. That's what I opened the show talking about, and I guess I'll close talking about it as well. Power was out not for very long. Power was out that Sunday. Power was out Monday. Power was out Tuesday. Power was restored at some point, I think, on Wednesday. At that time, though, it was just the power. So we had electricity, which was good. I was grateful for that. We did not have the other amenities. We didn't have cable. We didn't have internet. It was not brought back. I don't exactly remember when all of those came back. But it took a while for them to get those things up and running as well. But the power being out for 3 days wasn't too bad. Again, I was in an area that was hit, but the section that I was in that neighborhood didn't nothing. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. And so I'll be surprised if I'm able to upload the show. If I am, it'll be amazing. Watch our Blue Sky account. Watch Facebook. Watch Twitter. Watch, you know, all of the places that we're on for social. As I'll likely turn a lot of those into just reporting about what's going on with weather and that sort of thing. Or even just personally about, like, you know, what the situation is back home when I get there and how that's going. So just keep an eye on those to sort of understand, you know, what's going on in my neck of the woods, as it were, rather than yours. But I appreciate everybody who has tuned in. I appreciate everybody that has called. I appreciate everybody who's in the chat room, on Discord, who were watching on Twitch. Really appreciate it. Wasn't sure if I was going to do a show today because of all of this. I knew I was going to be here regardless. I just thought, maybe just not do a show. But I thought, well, the more I looked, and again, looking at timelines and trying to figure out when this stuff was going to come through, it was just like, you can still do a show. You can still talk video games. But without the added stress of putting RJ in any kind of danger being up here. Because it's a possibility that he would have been stuck up here for a while. And I would rather him be with his family during this time. So that's basically it. You guys just hunker down and, you know, understand where your safe place is in your home. Have that plan. If you don't have one, to figure out where that shelter is, and you should just go there now. If there's a shelter nearby, you should just go ahead and go to it. Basically, if you're listening on the roads, get to where you're going. Please get to where you're going and stay there, hunker down, get all your supplies, get all your safety stuff that you have to have, make sure everything's charged. You know, if you've still got power now, go ahead, charge everything. Charge it all up. I'll be doing that here with all of my devices. Why I brought a lot of them here in, because I wanted to get them charged at least here before going back home. So definitely make that happen. I don't know what other advice I could give you other than download Rich Thomas Weather App. If you don't already have it, download the Rich Thomas Weather App. It'll give you alerts. There's also a thing on your phone, by the way. Now, I'm only going with iPhones on here. So I don't know how it would work on other phones. But if you go into the settings of your iPhone and you go to notifications, scroll down to the very bottom of the notifications. It's going to go through all the different apps that you've got installed for notifications. But what you want are the very bottom part of that selection, because it tells you about government alerts. This is where you can turn on or off to get Amber Alerts. This is where you can turn on or off to get public safety alerts and emergency alerts. You want all that on. If you're annoyed by them, whatever. Turn them off tomorrow. Turn them on now. And keep them on. And then tomorrow you can turn them back off if that's what you want to do. But you should have those on. They're all on online. With the exception of test alerts. There's a section for test alerts. And I'm like, no, I don't necessarily need your tests. But I do need everything else. So make sure you do that on your phone. That's for iPhone. I don't know how it works on any other phones, but that's what it works, or that's how it works on your iPhone there. And make sure that's on. That is going to be either your primary or your secondary source for updates. A weather radio should be your first primary source. If you don't have one of those, your phone will be your next best source for that. Again, Rich Thomas Weather App is going to come in handy in that regard. Just be aware is essentially what we want you to do, is just to be aware of what's going on. And we're going to try and do our best to make sure that you're aware, to keep you informed, and to get through this together. And that is the plan and what we're going to do. All right, hang on, I'm looking here. All right, I'm getting word that this is underperforming. This is way underperforming right now. I would say that's good, but again, I am not putting... I'll be more satisfied with that comment at like 11 o'clock tonight when we're done and when this is over with. For now, I'm just taking that with a grain. Not that I don't trust the source. I absolutely do. But it's weather. It can be unpredictable. As much as we have all the things in the world to tell us when something's going to happen, at what point, what time, and where, it's still nature. It's still unpredictable. So, anyway, be safe out there. We got one last track here from the Banjo-Kazooie game Nuts and Bolts. It's the one where you built your car. Anyway, it's the main title for the game. Have a great one. We'll see you next week. Stay safe. Thank you.